The inauguration of President-elect Donald Trump is just days away. Trump will be inheriting a country that has a deep partisan divide, as this close and divisive election showed.
A new mini-series from Frontline looks back at events during Barack Obama's presidency that revealed deep divisions in the United States and examines what kind of a country Trump will inherit. The two-night documentary miniseries called Divided States of America premieres tonight on Wisconsin Public Television at 8 p.m. A second part will air tomorrow night at the same time.
Mike Weiser joins us now to talk about the miniseries. He's producer and writer for Frontline on PBS, and he's one of the producers and writers of the new documentary, Divided States of America. Mike, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks a lot for having me.
Well, as you often do on Frontline, you're kind of at this point where news is starting to turn into history. Looking back, did it strike you how pivotal some of these moments were that we might not have known at the time?
You know, well, this is really a film that we've been making throughout Obama's presidency, but we really started making it in the last year. About this time last year, we started putting together what we call the boxes, the key events throughout Obama's time, and trying to understand what were the key moments in Obama's presidency. And as the election went on, and as Donald Trump captured the nomination of his party and eventually the presidency, we really started to see a lot of resonance and it really brought out how important some of the key events were in Obama's presidency to the moment that we're in right now.
Yeah, we've ended up with, whether people are happy about it or not, really the anti-Obama, the opposite of President Obama in many ways, with President-elect Donald Trump. And you can see, looking back at your documentary, the steps toward that and sort of this anti-establishment fervor that was starting really even before President Obama was elected.
That's right. Our film really begins in the 2008 campaign, and one of the key moments is the decision by John McCain to choose Sarah Palin to be his running mate, a governor of Alaska who he didn't know too much about other than that she seemed to be a maverick like him. But what the people we spoke to, including a number of senior officials in the Republican Party, told us was that it really signaled a moment of the rise of a populist conservatism that had not been central to the Republican Party up until that point, but would only grow. It would be fueled by the opposition to President Bush's bailout of Wall Street, and it would continue to grow through the Tea Party and throughout Barack Obama's presidency.
Right. The story here, as I look back at Divided America, is it's not just Republican versus Democrat. It's establishment and anti-establishment, and maybe bad luck for the Democrats. They came into this election with a very establishment candidate, and the Republicans came in with a very anti-establishment candidate.
That's right. And that's been the current even before Obama came in. Obama came in to office on a promise that he was going to change Washington. And Donald Trump also comes into office on a promise that he's going to shake things up and to change Washington. But what we saw over those 8 years was a real fundamental distrust of the establishment. And it was and of the elites, as Sarah Palin termed them when she first got the nomination. And what you really saw especially strong, this movement was inside the Republican Party, was a feeling among the grassroots of the Republican Party that the Republican Party leadership, the Republican Party establishment had let them down. And a number of voters were looking for a change, looking for somebody who would come from outside the system to change things.
Well, let's look back at President Obama. A couple clips here from the documentary, one from the president's campaign in 2008, the second in 2012. Let's give a listen.
We have never been just a collection of red states and blue states. We are and always will be the United States of America. If I said the sky was blue, they said no. If I said there were fish in the sea, they said no. They figured if Obama fails, then we win.
So initially, at least a message of hope that people could reach across the partisan divide. And you hear clips in the documentary from people like John Boehner as well, hoping that these things could happen. And then everybody kind of runs into this wall of division and partisanship. And watching different moments, you see opportunities maybe missed and squandered by the president and by his Republican counterparts in Congress.
That's right. There were numerous opportunities throughout Obama's presidency where people said, this looks like the moment, maybe finally on this issue, they're going to be able to achieve bipartisanship. Maybe they'll finally be able to do something about the budget. Maybe they'll finally be able to do something about background checks for guns. And each time it falls apart. But one of the amazing things looking back on Obama's presidency was just how early on the partisanship was clear to both Republicans and to Democrats. He came in after this amazing inauguration of the country's first black president and a surge in optimism around the country about what he might be able to accomplish. But in his very first week facing economic downturn and a financial crisis, he tries to push through a stimulus bill. And in that first week, the two sides, the Republicans, the minority in the House and the White House, aren't able to come together to pass a bipartisan bill. And we spoke to senior leaders in the White House, like David Axelrod and Minority Leader Eric Cantor at the time, and they both told us that early on, that even in those first few weeks, they had come to a conclusion that they weren't going to be able to work with the other side. And that's a pretty amazing thing, that it was that early on in Obama's presidency.
Talking to Mike Weiser from Frontline about their new documentary, Divided States of America, from the election of President Obama to the election of Donald Trump. Obamacare, the big story for most of President Obama's terms as president, and still, you know, new chapters happening now. This was the thing that seemed to really cement this division, and each side has their own narrative. Republicans say, hey, they rammed this thing through, partisan, not a single Republican vote. Democrats say, we tried to compromise. Republicans wouldn't go there. They intentionally tried to make it a partisan issue. What made this health care plan so divisive?
Well, it really was the key to defining what Obama's presidency would be like. It was his signature domestic policy achievement in his first year. It ate up the entire first year of Obama's presidency. They go into it believing that they can win over Republicans and trying to craft a bill in the Senate that would at least win over moderate Republicans. But in the midst of the health care bill, something happened that I think neither side really expected, which was a tremendous backlash in the form of the Tea Party. And it begins over the summer of 2009 as Obamacare is being talked about. Suddenly there's talk of death panels. There's talk about a government takeover of health care. And suddenly on the Republican Party, even moderates who had been talking to Obama realized that if they wanted to survive, this wasn't something that they were going to be able to go along with. And so the two sides in that first year really throw down the gauntlet over Obamacare. And the Republicans come back into the 2010 midterms and promised to repeal Obamacare, something we're hearing a lot of talk about now. I think one of the things that may have gotten missed in all of this was the extent to which Obamacare also shook up the Republican Party. A lot of people we talked to said it was the Republicans' promise to their voters in 2010 that they, if they were elected to Congress, that they would repeal Obamacare, and it was their failure to do that, since they didn't have the presidency and at the time the Senate, to do that, that really fueled anger at the Republican establishment and a belief that they weren't representing their voters. So it had a tremendous effect both on Obama and his presidency, but also on the Republican Party itself.
And you follow Republicans trying to harness this Tea Party wave. They did so very successfully in 2010, nowhere more so than here in Wisconsin, actually. But then it started to eat Republicans, too. You talked to Eric Cantor a lot. He got overthrown by a challenge from the right. There are probably 12 or 13 would-be presidents on the Republican side who would view themselves as victims of this wave, as Donald Trump ended up taking that nomination. This was something that they couldn't quite control in the way they thought they could, was it?
That's right. I think Eric Cantor's story is especially informative for understanding what went on inside the Republican Party. He was part of a group that called themselves the Young Guns, that went out in 2010 looking for for candidates who would speak to the desires of the Tea Party and speak the language of the Tea Party. And he rode in to become majority leader on that election. But As the new members came to Washington, it turned out that they were not the same as previous generations of freshman congressmen, that they came to Washington really determined to change things, not to stay there, not to work their way up through the system. And Eric Cantor found that himself with a caucus that neither he nor Speaker John Boehner could control, and found himself with a base of voters who were frustrated with him, who saw anything that looked like the traditional Washington deal-making as something that was bad. And Eric Cantor, who for many Democrats was the symbol of opposition to Obama, for many Republicans was the symbol of compromise and the old way of doing things. And he found himself losing in his own primary, which really sent a shockwave through the Republican Party and through the Congress.
We're talking to Mike Weiser from Frontline about the new documentary miniseries, Divided States of America.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Do you think it's accurate to characterize the nation today as the Divided States of America? What do you think is behind that division? Why do you think we're in a time of such hyper-partisanship? And do you see this partisanship in your own everyday life? What do you think can help unite politicians and help them work across the aisle? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're picking up our discussion now with Mike Weiser, producer and writer for Frontline on PBS and part of the team behind Frontline's new documentary miniseries, Divided States of America.
We're taking your calls now at 800-642-1234. Do you see us as the Divided States of America these days? Do you want to see politicians, maybe on your side, reaching across the aisle, compromising, or being uncompromising, sticking by their guns, ideologically sound? Do you worry about what this all could do to the country? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page. The Divided States of America looks back at the last 8 years in American national politics. Mike, a subplot that turned out to be a really big one was you follow Donald Trump, his response, his participation in the birther movement, his promotion of that. And soon after Mitt Romney lost the election 4 years ago, he registered this trademark, something called Make America Great Again.
That's right. Donald Trump really stepped into the divisions inside the Republican Party and saw a real opportunity. First, he made a name for himself as a birther, as somebody questioning Barack Obama's birth certificate. And in doing that, he was speaking to part of the Republican Party that was very distrustful of the president and believed in the conspiracy theory that perhaps the president was not even an American, something that other establishment Republicans were not willing to do. And with that credibility that he had, he was even at one point leading in the polls for the 2012 election. He ends up endorsing Mitt Romney, and Mitt Romney in Las Vegas goes to a Trump hotel to receive Donald Trump's endorsement. And it really brings him into the Republican Party leadership. When Mitt Romney loses, Donald Trump takes to Twitter to complain about that loss, but it's only a few days later that he registers that trademark, Make America Great Again. We spoke to his longtime political advisor, Roger Stone, who says that around this time he talked to Trump and Trump was handicapping the race, and that he was sure, even back then, that Trump was serious about running in 2016.
Let's talk about the state of division in America. You talked to some of, some journalists and others about this. There are people listening right now who cannot intellectually or emotionally understand how someone could vote for the candidate of the other party, whichever party they're in. It's almost like two alien groups not understanding each other at all. Is that what we're seeing in American politics these days?
That's right. There were a lot of voters this time around, especially supporters of Hillary Clinton, who were really in shock that Donald Trump had won the election. One of the scenes we have in the film is how the same thing happened 4 years before, how when Barack Obama was reelected, there was a real disbelief amongst a number of Republicans. And one of the reasons for that, the journalist Molly Ball says in the film, is that people now tend to live around people who think like they do. They tend to consume news from that aligns with the way that they see the world and with the way that they think. And so it becomes increasingly difficult to understand how somebody on the other side, how somebody who supports the other candidate could do that. So if you live in a certain pocket where the politics goes one way, it can be extremely difficult to understand how people on the other side hold the views that they do. And it really goes to the heart of the problem that the country faces.
Let's bring on our callers now at 800-642-1234. Richard is with us in Eau Claire. Richard, hi.
Hi, hello. And I agree that, yes, we are a divided country, and I didn't hear your last comments, but I think we're divided for a lot of reasons that are not spoken of on radio, the pundits and the newspapers is briefly, but I think the reason why we finally got the president-elect that we had is because so many moral things have been destroyed in this country, and it finally became a straw that broke the camel's back. And for instances, first of all, many years ago, the Supreme Court decision that it was okay for women and men to kill their babies in the form of legal abortion. And then the latest one, of course, is the fact that Mr. Obama completely destroyed marriage and the views of marriage that have been true for thousands and thousands and thousands of years.
Richard, I gotcha. And Mike, he's coming from a perspective on those social issues. How did you see social issues like abortion, same-sex marriage playing out in this growing divide? A lot of the story has been economic and over things like healthcare, but that's not the whole story.
No, it's not the whole story. And obviously there's divisions over politics, there's divisions over the approach to religion, over social policy, and I think what you've seen over the time, over the last 8 years while Barack Obama's been in office, is that a lot of those divisions have, if not been revealed, have gotten deeper.
Richard, thanks.
But yes, they are definitely there.
Richard, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Mike Weiser is with us from Frontline. Their new documentary is Divided States of America. You can check that out on Wisconsin Public Television starting tonight. Back to our callers. Jake is with us in South Milwaukee. Jake, hi.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
What did you want to bring up, Jake?
I wanted to... The question I heard when I got on the radio was, why do I think America is divided? And I don't think I'm old enough to have a full view, but I can give a point of view from my generation, I believe. I'm 32 years old, and I understand I am the crest of the millennial wave, where from a very early age we were advertised that we deserve more and we should be getting more from everything. And the economy of the 90s was able to deliver on that. But with an economic downturn and the advent of social media, the building frustrations of adulthood and a downturn economy and the anonymity of social media has led to a group of people who are less and less socially inclined to talk to each other, more and more frustrated, and they feel they can get away with saying whatever they feel like.
Interesting, Jake. Thanks a lot. Mike, a lot there. Where do you want to run with that?
Well, yeah, definitely the economy, which was cratering as Barack Obama came into office, does play a key role and really fueled anger on both sides. He inherited and continued a bailout of Wall Street that angered many on the right, which saw it as big government assisting business, and many on the left who believed that this was an example of Wall Street being favored over Main Street. So for both Democrats, I think you can see in the candidacy of Bernie Sanders, and for many Republicans, there was a real feeling that they were being left behind, that elites, that the establishment, that Wall Street, that powerful special interests were the ones benefiting. And I think that is important to understanding what was going on in exacerbating this divide on both sides.
Let's bring on one more caller. Bob is with us in Mercer. Bob, hi. Briefly, please.
Hi. Just calling to say, I think a lot of this stuff, I mean, if I were to put it in a little nutshell, I would say it's the year of frustration. A lot of what's happening in our cities with regard to, you know, the Justice Department investigating police departments over, you know, force against the black community. There's, you know, there's the conservative party who felt they haven't been heard. There's the workers out there who labor every day and felt they haven't been served. I think this is all a huge revolt voice. But on the other hand, I will have to say it's been a divisive presidency. I mean, this is a man who investigated through his IRS hundreds of conservative organizations and nonprofits that he didn't do a single one on the Democratic side. He passed a health care bill on Christmas Eve that didn't include one Republican vote.
And Bob, just a quick response from Mike. The year of frustration, especially from people unhappy with the presidency of Barack Obama, culminating in Inauguration Day of Donald Trump in just a few days, 30 seconds or so.
Yeah, I mean, I think you see a lot of things inside his presidency that he didn't realize would be so divisive. And certainly one of the ones we talk about in the film is the issue of race and of policing, which he runs into in that very first summer in 2009 when he wades into the Henry Louis Gates arrest and really provokes a strong backlash that he was not expecting.
We'll leave it there, Mike. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That's Mike Weiser. He's a producer and writer for Frontline on PBS, and he's one of the producers and writers of the new documentary miniseries that's called Divided States of America. It premieres tonight and continues tomorrow night on public television. That's airing, I believe, at 8 p.m. Both nights. You can check it out tonight. Look for your local listings. And you can still share your thoughts, by the way, over on the Central Time Facebook page.